Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Samech Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Beis, the last lines of the Amud, the last words of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Shadalei Kabana. Rabbi Yehuda sent a gift LaVidrina Nachri, whose name was Avidrina, B'yoyim Edom, on their holiday, on the holiday of the Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, what? The fact that I sent them a gift on their holiday, and I'm not concerned about Avodah Zarah, he explained, Yodanabe Deloy Polach Mavaritz Kachavim. I know him, and I know he's an individual that doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Amle Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said to him, Fatanya, didn't we learn in Ezo Getosh V'kol Shekiva Allah B'fnei Shloisha Chaveirim that when is somebody considered a ger toshiv? When is he considered an individual that doesn't worship Avodah Zarah? Only if he accepted himself upon himself in front of three Talmid Chachamim that he won't worship Avodah Zarah. He may be an individual who's not worshiping Avodah Zarah, but he didn't accept it upon himself in front of three people, in front of three Talmid Chachamim. If he didn't accept that upon himself in front of three Talmid Chachamim, we can't consider him an individual who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi, when does the Halacha say that he's considered that that has a special status? That's only Lach Yosei. That the Halacha is, we have to do whatever we can to keep, to help a Jew survive. So that's when that Halacha is spoken about. But as far as sending a gift, that's permissible. Says, ask the Yavetz. So yes, the Gemara said he's an individual who doesn't worship on Avodah Zarah, and because he's an individual who doesn't worship on Avodah Zarah, there is no problem sending him a gift on the holiday. But if he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, then that day is not special to him. So if that day is not special to him, why would he send him a gift on that day? So the Gaas Yavetz says that the way to look at this Gemara is like New Year's. New Year's could be considered a religious holiday, and New Year's could be considered a secular holiday. So if you send it, if the person is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so then sending him a gift is sending him a gift on a religious holiday. But if it's not considered a religious, if that person is celebrating the day only because it's a secular holiday, that's why he was allowed to sell him the gift. The Seyde Yaakov says that the way to understand this Gemara is that this Nochri had done something on behalf of the Jew, and since he had done something on behalf of the Jew felt that he owed him a present, and it just happened to come out on the holiday. So says the Shalos Teshuvos HaRashba, as we go back to discussion that we had in our previous year, that we're not allowed to give a Nochri a gift. From here says the Shalos Teshuvos HaRashba that this halacha that we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, that one may not give a Nachri a gift, is only said in a place where there's no purpose for giving him a gift. So just giving him a gift is Osir. But in a case where there's a reason, a constructive reason to have to give the Nachri a gift, then you're allowed to give him a gift, and that was the case here. And this goes back also to a discussion that we had at the beginning of the Masechta, where the Masechta, as we began the Masechta, taught us that you're not allowed to give Nachri a gift, B'yoyim Edom. But Tosfos right away at the beginning of the Masechta discussed that there may be situations that we may give a Nachri a gift, B'yoyim Edom. For example, where one example is, we said that the question is, why do we do business and give gifts to Nachrim nowadays on their holidays? But now it's understandable, because just like here in our Gemara, we see that the Nachrim who aren't worshipping Avodah Zarah, the halacha changes as far as what is permitted on their holidays. And that's why our Gemara says that these people weren't observant with their religion. That's why you were allowed to give them a gift. Here too, they were allowed to give him a gift, even though the Masechta began teaching us the halachos of B'yoyim Edom. So our Gemara taught us that there are different categories when we speak about lachyosai, about giving, about supporting non-Jews. Says the Brisker Rav that there's a difference in the tzedakah that we have to give to Yisrael versus the tzedakah that we give to Nachri. The Brisker Rav suggests that the tzedakah one has to give to a Yisrael is to give him kol tzarchai, everything he needs. Whereas the tzedakah that we give to a ger toshev is only the minimum amount, and that's clear in our that we see in our Gemara that there are a number of categories and levels. There's a Yisrael, there's a ger toshev, and then there's a Nachri. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rabba B'chan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ger Toshev She'arvah Lov Shnei Mesach Chodesh, if a Ger Toshev had 12 months pass, V'loi Mol, and he didn't have a Bris Milah, Harei Kamin Shavai D'Kachavim, he's considered like a full-fledged Oved Avodah Zarah. So why over here was he lenient in sending him a gift? Says the Gemara, K'gon Shekibah Lov Lomo V'loi Mol. When is that said? That's said by somebody who accepted upon himself to have a bris milah and delayed having the bris milah for more than 12 months. So the individual who delayed having a bris milah for 12 months is a whole different category than somebody, that's a question on his behavior. There's a very interesting discussion here in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed where he discusses where somebody was offered to be the rav of a shul that doesn't have a mechitza, or the same kind of question would come up regarding davening in a shul that doesn't have a mechitza. And the question that he discusses is somebody was offered to be rav in the shul, but his goal and his intention is that he will be able to influence the people of that shul to ultimately build a mechitza. What would be the halacha? And he quotes that this question, he says he once asked this question to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, and he says Rabbi Yoshev told him that Rav Hutner asked this question to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said that if this Rav believes that within the course of 12 months, he will be able to convince the people of that shul to put up a mechitza, then he could take the rabbonis. But he says it's very important that he also announce and make it clear that that is his attention, because otherwise there's a consideration of Maris Ayin, how people will see he's the rabbi of a shul without a mechitza. But if he makes it very clear that this is temporary and this is something that he wants to do just to make them to get a chance to convince them, influence them properly, then the halacha is that we could, he has up to there, he says under that case he could have up to a year. Of course, every situation has to be considered differently. The Gemara we learn here is of course very relevant. The Gemara we learned here is very relevant regarding giving a gift to a Nachri on the non-Jewish New Year. And from here, the way we learned the Al Gemara, that given that even though it was a holiday and it has a religious connotation to the holiday, but his goal of giving the gift was only because, as we learned earlier, because of a present, or is this, they don't take that holiday, the people involved, to have any religious meaning, there may be permission to give a gift under those circumstances. Says the Gemara, Rava Amtale Kabona LeBasheshech. Rava brought a gift to Basheshech, B'yayim Adam, again, on their holiday. Omar, Yadanabe Deloy Polach Avodah Zarah, he said, the reason I'm comfortable in giving him this gift is because I know he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Azul, Ashkei de Yosef at Savari Bevarda, and he met this individual who was sitting up to his neck in roses and rose oil. The kaim and zaynus arumas kamei, and there were zaynus not dressed. There were zaynus not dressed that were also standing there. Amale and Basheshel said to Rava, Islachu Kai Gavna Lamadasi, will Klaus saw merit to this in Olam Haba? Amale, so Rava said to Basheshech, actually, the Don Adifat Fe Mahai, but we will have an Olam Haba is even preferable to what you have. Amale Tfei Mahai Mehava, is it possibly to be better than this? Amale Itn Atan Iko Alaycha Emsu De Malchusa. You have the fear of the government at any time could do whatever they want to do with you. Anan Loi Tehevelan Emsu De Malchusa. We won't have to fear the government. Amale, says the Gemara, where do you see that I am frightened from the government? Says the Gemara, Ad the Yasvi, while they were sitting and talking, Asa who predicted the Malka, a messenger from the king came, and Amale, and he said to Bashesha, come, get up, the Kabayle Malka, you're being summoned by the governor. Kinafak Vazel, as he was going, Amale, so he said to Rava, Aina the Baila Mexilachu, my eyes, who wanted to see bad for Klai Yisrael, I wanted to see that Klai Yisrael should suffer, says the Gemara Tipaka, will suffer itself. Amalei Rava, and Rava said, Amen, that should indeed happen. And says the Gemara, what indeed happened was that Paka Enei, his eye burst. There is a question here, what is meant by Almadasi? Does Almadasi mean Olam Haba, and that's the way the Gra learns the Gemara. And others say, the Ramah says it doesn't mean Olam Haba, because he says in the time of Olam Haba, there still will be Amos of the Malchus. The government will still have some level of control. What it means to say that Amos of the Malchus means Yemaisa Mashiach, which will be a later time, and when Mashiach comes, that there won't be anything to be concerned. Tzadikim yoshvim v'atraseim b'reshayim, and we will have the best of the world. As Rav Tzadik HaKohen explains this entire Gemara, he says that the difference in this Gemara is that the Nochri, the guy, this Bar Sheshach, he thought that what is this world all about? This world is all about taivus, a person getting what he wants. And he says, typically, a person who's about taiva is also a person who's a ra'ayin. A ra'ayin means he's not a person that can be happy for somebody else. He's not a person that could see somebody else be successful. And that's what happened over here. The debate between Bar Sheshach and Rava was that Rava said that you have the taiva in this world, and if you're an individual that has taivas in this world, you're going to be an individual who must be a ra'ayin. And because you're ra'ayin, that's why he was punished with the eyes. Whereas we are interested in the ruchnis of this world. Since we are interested in the ruchnis of the world, we are not ra'ayin. A person who is a person that cares about ruchnis is more concerned about people, about other people also being successful. And that's why we are toivayim. Amra papi, bailei lememra lemahaikra. So it says the Gemara, Rava should have challenged Rosh Eshech from this pasuk. The pasuk says about how will the world look when Mashiach comes, meher b'yameinu. B'nois melochem b'yikurisecha nitzva shegel li'mincha b'kesem ofer. The maids who will serve us will be princesses, and it will be a tremendous honor, and the queen will be dressed in all of her ornaments that come, the expensive gold that come from Ofer, to serve us. And what I meant to say was that you, Bar Sheshach, who are the women who are servicing you? People who are very low class. The people that will service Klal Yisrael will people be from the upper class. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Ibay Leila Mimra Mahacha. He should have said from this pasuk. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Ayin Le Rosh Elokim Zuloscha Yaslam Chakalai. No one can fathom the great world that we will have when Mashiach comes, B'mher B'yameinu. So we learned in the Mishnah, Sochroi Lassimai Melach Acheres. if the Nachri hired the Yisroel not to work with Yai Nesach, and then while he was working for him, he asked him to carry some Yai Nesach, then the halacha is he may benefit from those wages. Says the Gemara, Afgav, from the Mishnah, it seems that if no matter when this Yisroel transported the Yai Nesach, he could get paid for it. Says the Gemara, Afgav Delayamal Elitoyse Erev, it means that we would think that maybe the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the Nachri asked the Yisroel to work with the Yai Nesach after work hours. So since he asked him to work after work hours, so he's not getting paid for that job, and that's why it's permissible. Says the Gemara Mini, but as the Gemara, the Braisa, in explaining this says, Hasoichas Apoil, Lutoysar of Omele Havachavish Yain Shayah Nesach Mamakal Makoim, Tzchari Mutter. So doesn't that seem to mean Tamad Omele Lutoysi Erev, only because the Jew is working on off hours, but Kula Yoima, during the day, Loi, he would not be allowed to get the salary. Says the Gemara, indeed. Amr Abaye explains the Kitna Nami Masnisen. We're going to have to explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a case, Domala Taisi Erev Tanan, that he was asked to do this after work hours. Since he was asked to work after work hours, he's not collecting a salary for it, and that's why it's permissible. Rav Amaloy Kasha, he says, even if he's doing it during work hours, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. If the way the job was described, that he has to transport 100 barrels, and for carrying 100 barrels, he'll get a salary of $100. And therefore, he's not entitled to that entire salary. He's not entitled to that entire salary until he finishes the job. And since part of the job entails carrying Yai Nesach, he's not allowed to get any of the money. But when he told him, Hada Havali, Chavis Chavis Vapruta, he told him, you have to transport for me 100 barrels. And I'm going to pay you a dollar per barrel. So since he's getting paid a dollar per barrel, the halacha will be that for the barrels that he got paid that are Yai Nesach, he will not allow to keep that money. He's not allowed to benefit from Yai Nesach. The other barrels, he's getting paid per barrel, so the other barrels that did not involve carrying something that he wasn't allowed to carry, he'll be allowed to get paid for. For Tanya, and the Gemara here says, Tanya here is not a kasha, Tanya here is a raya. The Braisa teaches us a soichas apoyol. If you told him to transport 100 barrels and I'll pay you $100, and one of the barrels contains Yai Nesach, and he connected the entire job to that, the halacha will be schara, so he can't take any wage for doing this. However, if the way the job was described was chavis chavis beprutah, each barrel you'll get a dollar for. V'nimtzu chavish lo yai nesach b'neim, and there's one barrel of yai nesach, so for that barrel he won't be allowed to get paid, and for all the other barrels, scharay mutter, for all the other barrels be allowed to get paid. This is an interesting discussion. What would be the halacha if somebody was hired to be a security guard in a place, and he was irresponsible, and he fell asleep while he was supposed to be up, and while he fell asleep, something happened. There was a robbery in the store, and now he comes to collect the salary. So certainly, for the time that he was irresponsible and he was sleeping, he's not entitled to get paid. But the rest of the time that he was up, does he entitled to salary or not? So the Shaul Chuvis Avni Nezer Choshe Mishpat Simon Yud Beis was asked a question where a wagon driver was supposed to take deliver barrels, and he was supposed to deliver animals and deliver 20 animals, and one of them died, and the reason he died was because this wagon driver was irresponsible in the way he transported these animals. So the question is he entitled to any salary because he did deliver 19 animals, or since he was obviously irresponsible, he shouldn't get anything? So actually, the simplest way to look at this question is the way we look at our, is really based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara just taught us that there's a difference in halacha, how the job was described. If the job was described, I'm paying you a set fee for when you complete the job, so then the entire job is considered one job. And therefore, he would not be entitled to get paid if he didn't do the entire job properly. But if the way the job was described is that you're going to get paid, for example, by the hour, so if this person's getting paid by the hour, that changes the entire discussion. If he's getting paid by the hour, so for the hour that he did the job properly, he's entitled to get paid for. And for the time that he didn't do the job properly, he's not entitled to get paid for. It says, we learned further in the Mishnah, if somebody hired a donkey to bring on a yayin nesach, the halacha is schare osur. The wages are osur. Ask the Gemara, Hasul Lamali, Haina Resha. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke at the beginning of the Mishnah that somebody who was hired to work with Yayin Nesach is not, since Yayin Nesach is also Bahano, he can't have any benefit. So the Gemara's question is, what's the difference if he was hired to work with the Yayin Nesach or he was hired to transport the Yayin Nesach? It's all the same halacha. Answers, the Gemara Sefer Yitzchulei, there is a Chiddush in the Sefer, Schara Leishavala. If he hired the animal to sit on the animal, even though the Nokri has a flask with Yayin Nesach with him, says the Gemara Schari Mutar. Because since people don't usually put a flask on the wagon, on the animal, so that's not what this animal was hired for. And since it wasn't hired for that purpose, that's why he's entitled to the pay. Lememra, the Nagin Lav Dina Hu Loisve, does that mean that a traveler has no right to put his flask on the animal? For many, Hasaychas Chamor, if somebody rents an animal, Hasaychas Menich Lav Ksusoi, the person who rented the animal is allowed to put his garment, Filiginosoi, and his barrel of wine, and Mizunosov, and what he needs to eat, Shalois Aderech. Mikav Ve'elech, if he wants to put more than that, Chamor Ma'akav Lav, the donkey driver could prevent him. And similarly, the donkey driver could put on it barley and wheat, what the animal needs, and whatever he needs, the wagon driver, to eat that day. But if the wagon driver wants to put on more than that, the person who rented the animal could say no. But what's relevant to our discussion is that the person is allowed to put his flask of wine on the animal. And since the person is allowed to put his flask of wine on the animal, so then when you're paying for the donkey, you're paying for that as well. And therefore it should be usur to get that money. And says the Gemara, I'm by night, the lagadina de la sovi. Yes, the rider, the person on the donkey has a right to put on it the flask of wine. But says the Gemara, Mio, Eloi Maisolei, what would be if he doesn't put his flask of wine? Mio, Mina, Nechilei, Agrit, Leganosoi, would he be entitled to take off, to deduct for not taking a flask of wine? Of course not. He's allowed to put it because it's expected, just like a person takes luggage. So you're entitled to take luggage. And in those days, taking a bottle of wine was considered a standard part of the luggage. But if somebody takes a flight, a ride, and he doesn't have any luggage, does he get a deduction? Says the Marhechidami. So says the Gemara, the Bryce has said that he could put food for amount that he needs for the entire trip, versus the driver could only put up enough food for one day. So ask the Gemara, let's understand what the Brice is speaking about. If they're traveling on a trip where they will be able to find food all the time, so the driver should be able to tell the passenger, don't take all this food, you'll buy food on the road. And if they're traveling and aware in a place where food is not available, so then the driver should say, I need food, and we're going to a place where food is not available. And it's the Gemara Omer Papa, Letricha, Neshchich, Lemitrich, Lemizbim, Avon, Avon. You can't find food by every stop, but it's not easily found, or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's expensive. So says the Gemara. Chamor, a person who, for a profession, drives animals, drives whatever, that is what they always do. They always are buying food on the road. Darkei lemitrach lemizbon. It's his derech to buy food. Soicher, but the person who's taking the ride, he doesn't usually travel. So such an individual is lav darke lemitrach lemizbon. It's not something that he normally buys all the time. And therefore, the halacha is that he has a right to take along food all the time. Tosfos goes so far to say that the Gemara said that that the driver, if there's food available, could take food along for one day. Says the Tosfos that if they're traveling in a place where you could find food even more often, you don't have to wait a day to find food, then he wouldn't be allowed to take food even for more than one day. Of course, when the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'kolzeh b'soich estam, this is on the halacha that we're learning here is by regular case, u'b'makom she'en minig yidua, in a place where there is no known halacha. This is Choshe Mishpat, Simen Shinches, Sif Gimel. Avol b'makom she'esh minig, in a place that there's an accepted minig, what is done with drivers, there, hakol afi minig, we always follow the minig hamakom. I saw that the Chishuk Echemet has another interesting shayla. What's going to be the halacha if somebody took a passenger? He took a passenger to take him wherever he's going, taxi driver, and as they're sitting in the car and he's talking with the passenger, the passenger tells him, I'm carrying an avodah zara, because I'm trying to go to a certain place, will I be able to sell avodah zara? And the question is he entitled to that pay? Because as we're learning in our Gemara, one is not allowed to get paid to transport avodah zara. And here, this person is getting paid. The entire reason that this person is taking this trip, the entire reason this person is taking this trip is only that he should be able to sell the avodah zara. So the driver is profiting from avodah zara. So the Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in the Chashukei Chemed suggests that he's allowed to collect, he's not obligated to stop the trip. It's a chil Hashem. It will cause Eva, real anonymity, if somebody does this while he's driving and he just throws out the non-Jewish passenger. But he does say that any money that he earns for this trip, he shouldn't have personal benefit. The taxi driver should give that money to tzedakah. Says the Gemara, Avur der Rav Acha b'rei der Rav Ika. The father of Rav Acha, the Rav Ika, says the Gemara, the father of Acha b'rei der Rav Ika, and I saw the Mefarshim point out, why is he called Avur der Rav Acha b'rei der Rav Ika? And he says, sometimes we are fortunate that what makes us famous is, you know, his name was Ika, as we see in the Gemara. But sometimes what makes us famous is that we have wonderful children. And that's a tremendous bracha, that we should be famous and that is what makes us important. And that's what the Gemara wanted to stress here. What made this person famous? Because he had such a wonderful son. And he said what he used to do was he used to sell wine in barrels to stores, and the money that he was paid for was also not just for the wine, but was also for the barrel. Because what used to happen was that they used to sell a barrel of wine to the storekeeper. The storekeeper would sell off, the chemveni would sell off a little wine at a time, and they would pay, and the buyers would pay for that. And after the storekeeper sold off all the wine, he kept the barrel. So part of his profit was not only whatever profit he made on selling the wine, but was the barrel that he kept at the end. So says the Gemara, have shafach lechamer lev kachavim. He would pour the wine directly into the flasks of the nachrim that had leftover yayin nesach in them. Vazloi abra, and then they would take the flasks over in a boat. V'yavlei gufal ba'agra, and the nachrim would give them the barrels as pay for the fact that they poured the wine and transported the wine. Also, Amr Leil Abaya. They came and told Abaya that Ravik is getting paid for working with Yayin Nesach, because he was pouring the wine into the flasks of the Nachrim, and there were other wine in those flasks, which was Stam Yenam, and he was benefiting from that. Amru, so Abaya said Rav Eka was not doing anything wrong, because what he did was, when he poured the wine wasn't yet mixed together with the wine that was in the flask of the Nachri. And his job of pouring the wine ends as soon as he finishes pouring the wine. So since it ends as soon as he finishes pouring the wine, that's before the wine became usur. But ask the Gemara, but we discussed in our previous shiurim that one of the considerations, if you're allowed to, when it comes to working with things that are usur, is the consideration of roitz b'kiyuma, if you want it to exist. And Rav Ika wants that the yayin nesach should be kept, the leinitzra zika. He didn't want that the flasks should break and then he'll have to pour it back into the barrel, and he'll have a problem then. Says the Mara, the Master may die. Rav Ika stipulated that even if these flasks break, the kankanim will belong to him. Inami, the Maisa Prista Be'adayu. They used to bring with them empty kalim, that in case something happened, they would be able to pour it over into those empty kalim, and that's why Rav Ika didn't have any real hanor. But ask the Gemara, there's a different problem. As we just learned, Rav Ika would transport them. V'koma abrele mabra, Rav Ika was transporting the wine. And as we've been learning from the beginning of the parak, when a Yisrael transports wine of a Nachri, he's benefiting from that Stam Yenam, which is Asur. V'katarpi Sura. Says the Gemara, the Amrele mabruim ikara, he used to say to the person who was driving the ship that they should take it, and he won't be responsible for that part of the obligation. And since he doesn't have any obligation, financial obligation, and he's not benefiting from it, that's why he was in mutter. Inami the Nakabe Ketira, he would make a knot on top of the flask, and he would know, and whenever he would make a simen on top of the flask, that was something that the person who drove the boat knew that for that he can't charge, for that he's not getting paid. Yayin nesach shenofal gabla novim, says the Mishnah, if yayin nesach fell on grapes, and the question is, he wants to be able to eat the grapes, is it mutter or not, usur? So says the Mishnah, yadichan, what you need to do is rinse off those grapes, ve'emutaris, and then you may eat the grapes. Because we're not concerned that any wine got absorbed into the grape. However, if the grapes have cracks in them, So since the grapes have cracks, asuris, because the wine goes into the cracks. I also saw that the Rishonim point out that sometimes what happens with the grapes is that they have a hole at the bottom. They have a hole in the bottom where they're detached from the cluster. So if you have a cluster of grapes and the grapes are still attached to the wood, so then you don't have that hole yet. But if you pull off the grape from the cluster, so then it has that hole at that spot, and the wine that's spilled on it goes into that cluster. And therefore, then it would be osa b'achila. This continues the Mishnah. Nafal al gabateinim, if the wine, the yain nesa, fell on figs, or al gabatamarim on dates, im yesh b'menosim tam, if they give tam, if the taste of the wine is tasted there, then daloch is osur, then you're not allowed to eat those grapes. So I saw that the Miri explains that tamarim are different, tamarim and ta'anim are different than grapes. Grapes, it's not for certain that they will absorb some of the wine. So we have to look at each situation individual. But when we speak about these fruits, they are very soft and moist, and therefore there's always going to be absorption. And says the Mishnah, Ma'aseh b'Beis Ben Zunin, Shevi Groigris B'Tzvina, he was transferring groigris, which are dried figs. We know in Shas, they always speak about groigris as dried figs that are put into a round cake. And he was carrying them on a boat. And they were transporting Yai Nesach on that boat. V'nafal al gabeim, and they fell on that grape. V'sholach hacham, on those figs. V'sholach hachamim, and they asked the chachamim, what is the halacha? Vitiram, and they said where they were dry, they were mutter. And there's two reasons I saw why they were mutter. One reason I saw that they were mutter is because they're dry. So since they're dry, they don't absorb. Another explanation I saw is that wine with dried figs actually gives it a bad taste. It's nois and tam l'pgam, and since it's nois and tam l'pgam, there was no issue. Says the Gemara and says the Mishnah. Zeh klal. Kol shem anos b'nois and tam. Wherever we have a situation that the wine is when the food is benefiting from the bed, from the wine, usher. For kol shem b'nos b'nois and tam, mutter. Kegoin chaymet shnafal gav agrisin, where we have vinegar that fell on grits. When you have vinegar that falls on grits, the tam, even if there's tam, it's a tam pogum. It's not a good taste. And the halacha is that whenever we have a tam pogum, it's not osur. And the reason is because the Torah says loysachel kol nevela begerash b'sherechet tenena le tenena v'achla. And the Gemara teaches us that nevela ruy leger nevela, which is edible. Krui nevela she'ena ruy leger, but if it's not edible, if it's a tam pogum, ena krui nevela. And therefore, whenever we have a nois tam begam, technically it's not usur. But ask the Gemara, ma'isa listor. Usually, when we have a Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us a din, and then many times the Mishnah will tell us a story to support the halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah. Here, the Mishnah said that if we have the yain nesach for on the fruits, then the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat that fruit if it absorbs it. And then the Mishnah tells us a story where yain nesach fell on the groigris, and they were allowed to eat the yain, they were allowed to eat it. And says the Gemara, Ksur Mechzavach Ketani. This is the way to the Mishnah. Even if the wine fell on the fruit, but it's a situation of nois tam l'pgam, it gives a bad taste, then it's mutter. And tells us the Mishnah, Omais nami b'ais ben zumen, shoy mevi groigis b'svino, v'nishtabris chovish l'yayin shen nesach, v'nofal al gabeyim, v'bom mais l'fnei chachamim, because of this, because it was a bad taste, that's why they made it mutter. Says the Gemara, and who carried the chita? There was a pile of wheat. The nafla chavita di ayin nesach, that a barrel of wine of nine nesach spilled onto these chitim. V'shayi Rava lezvun alav t'kachavim. And Rava allowed them to sell it to the Nochri. In other words, what he said was that even though it's osa b'chila, he said it would be, in this case, it would be muta b'hano. Eser Rava l'rvoy l'rova. So we asked, the Mishnah Brisa teaches us, beggar chavim by klaim. If you have a garment that a strand of, you have a linen garment and a strand of wool is in that garment, or vice versa. Harezer lo yukrein alav kachavim, you're not allowed to sell it to a nachri. You can't use it to make a saddle for the donkey. They may be used tachrichim for meis mitzvah, because a person when he dies kivish meis adam nasa chavshi min a mitzvahs, and there's no issa klayim. Loiv kachavim ma'ay tamaloi. So ask the Gemara, why can't it be sold to a nachri this beged klayim? Because we have to be considered the muscle is winning Yisrael, because the Nochri may go on and sell that garment to Yisrael. So why over here, by the Yayin Nesach that fell on the Chitim, are we being lenient? Why should we not be concerned that also is winning Yisrael, that he's going to sell this Chitim to Yisrael? So the Rishonim ask a question, why, if there's one strand of linen or wool in these begedim, in these garments, are they not bottle beroiv? You have one strand of wool in a linen garment, vice versa, it should become bottle beroiv. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Yosef bar Yontif that by klayim there is no concept of bittel. He says the whole issa of klayim is only the mixture. And since the whole issa of klayim is the mixture, then what the Torah is telling us is that when you have a mixture, then it's osur. Dar Chaner says a very big chiddush. Dar Chaner says that when would this be a concern? Dar Chaner says it would be only a concern if it's a strand of linen or in a wool bag or vice versa. But if you have a strand which is made of wool and linen, that's not the klayim that the Torah speaks about, and that would be mutter. So, ask Tosfos, if what the Torah says is when the iser is the mixture, there is no bittel, so why is the halacha by bas b'chol, a drop of meat falls into milk and it's bottle, or vice versa, if the iser is that you're not allowed to mix meat in milk? So, Tosfos answers, when we speak about meat and milk being mixed together, it's not like klayim. Klayim, any mixture of wool and linen is also. By basa b'chalav, the mixture that's osur is only derech bishul, when it's cooked together. Why is it also when it cooks together? Because when they're cooked together, they give tam one to the other. But when it's bottle, there's no tam. And since there's no issue of tam, then that's why the it would be mutter if it's less than the shear of tam. So he said that this garment could be used for tachrichim for meis mitzvah. So Tosfos asks that why is there no concern of loig l'rash? Loig l'rash is that we're not allowed to do anything in front of a nifter that make him feel bad. That's why when one goes to a cemetery, he's not allowed to wear his tzitzis. So why over here are we allowing the mace to wear tachrichim that were made out of klayim when we're not allowed to wear klayim? So one Tosfos suggests that the halacha of loig l'rash was only said by tzitzis. Since tzitzis is such a significant mitzvah, the Chazal teaches regarding tzitzis, shkula keneged kol mitzvahs, it's equivalent to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, so that's why by tzitzis we say loig l'rash, not anyone else. Another explanation that I saw is that the klayim is not loig l'rash because the halacha of klayim is that you're not allowed to benefit from klayim. A mace is not benefiting from the klayim. So since the mace is not benefiting from the klayim, So even a living person, if he's wearing klayim and not benefiting from it, would not be usur. The morale, this differentiate between the mitzvah asay and a mitzvah lois asay. So by mitzvah asay, like tzitzis, says the morale, that's what we say loy l'rash. But klayim is a mitzvah lois asay, there we don't say loy l'rash. The Ritva says that the issue of loy l'rash is only said by a mitzvah where it is obvious, or by an aveira according to Ritva, which is obvious. But when somebody wore klayim, it's not obvious that he's wearing klayim. So where it's not obvious that what you're doing it, it's not considered loy l'rash. The question is that we're putting on these tachrichim on the person who passed away, and then he's going to have tchias amesim, he's going to get up with klayim. And that's why I saw some suggest that they take off this beged before they do the actual kfura. Says the Gemara, v'hadu shara l'mitchinu. And the Gemara, so the question is, why can we sell, back to the Gemara, why can we sell wheat that Yayin Nesach was spilled on, why should we, to Nachri, why should we not be concerned that he's going to sell it to a Jew? Says the Gemara, v'hadu shara l'mitchinu. He allowed him to grind them, he allowed them to grind them and bake them by Nachri, Shloim Fnei Yisrael, and the Yisrael now won't eat that because Yisrael doesn't eat Pas Akum. And as the Rishonim point out, even though we learned earlier in the Masechta that Pas Palter is technically Mutter by Nachri, so if Pas Palter is Mutter, so what does the Gemara mean to say that we sell it to the Nachri and he's going to bake it, grind it and bake it, but we could still maybe buy that food? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz says that even though Pas Palter was technically Mutter, people would not typically buy Pas Palter. And the other heter I saw is that even though Pas Palter is Mutter, Pas Akum, which the Nachri bakes in his home, is also. And this was baked into Pas Nachri. Tanan says the Gemara, we learned that in Mishnah, Yain Nasuch Shafana Fagaba Anovim, when wine falls on grapes, the Mishnah says, Yedichave Mataris, Vemus Bacchus Asuris. So we see, Mivakos in, there, by if this cracked, we can't sell it. Aim Vakos Loi. So why, rinsing is enough. So why, asked the Gemara, is not rinsing adequate by the Chitin? Answers the Gemara Amra Papa Shani Chitin, when we talk about grain, hoil agav tzraikum of course dummy. Every grain has like a split in it. And that's where the wine that falls in it can get absorbed into the wheat. And therefore all wheat is in the same category as grapes that have a crack. And just like we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the grapes that have a crack were not allowed to eat, that's already a problem. This is also the same type. This is also the same type of situation.